Hello, everyone. This is Faye Bryce with a clarion call for a return to national sanity and to the faith once delivered unto the saints. Tom Metzger and Joe Reedy, Americans, are with us again today. We've been discussing genocide treaty, world government, just about everything that is threatening our freedom for the last 2 days. And we had just been talking about the genocide treaty and our California legislature having passed this resolution, urging the Senate to ratify it. I think, Joe, you have something that you'd like to announce, that you'd like to see done.
Oh, yes.
The course of action.
Well, Faye, we're being outflanked on all sides. Our laws are being subverted through the use of treaty law and executive order. By going around the various laws and requirements of the Constitution, our legislatures and our executive are putting us into a socialistic form of government. Now, we the people have the right, as a sovereign entity of the state, to demand that our legislatures act in compliance with the existing laws of the state and the country. Now, what we must do is that California legislature rescind this Joint Assembly Resolution Number 32, asking the Senate, National Senate, to ratify the Genocide Convention. Not only rescind it, but pass a new resolution demanding that the United States Senate denounce the Genocide Convention, thereby killing it and burying it forever, never to be brought up again for approval by anyone in the United States. Now, I have a couple of little sentences or two, if I may read them here, out of Rose Martin's new book, The Felling of America, in which she states this: "It is a fact not generally recognized that the United States today actually operates under a combination of treaty law and executive order. The chief functions remaining to the Congress in the realm of international affairs are to appropriate money, and we the taxpayers put that up, and I put that in parenthetically, and to implement domestic policies that have been previously launched to the United Nations organizations and its agencies." Now, going to a book titled Peace by the Wonderful People Who Brought You Korea and Vietnam, written by Lieutenant Colonel Archibald Lee Roberts, we find this on page 61. It says, quote, "On page 287 of the Senate document number 87, Review of the United Nations Charter, released January 7, 1954, we find the official view of the United Nations treaty held by elected officials in Washington. The Charter of the United Nations has become the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." Now, the people of the United States do not know that they have been put under this United Nations in this sneaky, dirty, double-crossing fashion. Okay, we've got to straighten it out. We cannot, if we can't straighten it out this way, we will simply cut off all money to the government and watch them starve and rot on the vine.
Where does the government get their money?
Through the taxes, and that brings up a subject that Tom can talk about, as the bankers and the way they handle our taxes.
Well, here's where it's at.
Stick them, Tom.
You can stop them, head them off at the pocketbook. It takes money to do all this to you. If they're going to oppress you, it takes money to do it. Now, you may know or you may not know there is a tax strike moving across this country. And one thing I would like to say along with that, in one of my observations here, the country is now under a complete domination of an illegal money system via the private corporation of banks, who hold the power over life, death, war, or peace, over every man, woman, and child in this country. How can we effectively attack this system? The tax strike, with an all-out attack on the Federal Reserve System and demands to force Congress to take back the authority to issue debt-free money.
Amen.
Why do you think the wars? That's debt. That pays off a lot of interest. I believe the figures are something like $22 billion a year going to private banking. That's not going to build roads or helping the poor, the disadvantaged, all these people that want to truly help the poor and disadvantaged better get onto this money deal, because that's where it's at.
You know, Tom, interrupting, one of the biggest lies that have been told the people of this country is that our national debt, we shouldn't worry about it, we only owe it to ourselves. We owe it to private bankers, and they're taking their pound of flesh at the rate of $22 billion a year in interest.
Yeah, that's why your meat prices are high today.
Absolutely.
Because of that inflation, that excessive government spending. But I'm interrupting you.
Yeah.
Well, they took our gold in 33, and now there's $15 billion in gold sitting in the basement of Chase Manhattan Bank in New York, owned by foreign interests. Now, you're going to see before long the big clamor for private ownership of gold. And they're going to let you have it. Why? Because they cornered it all, and now they want you to take it back at $150 an ounce and take back factories, homes, everything, and trade for it. Now, let's go back into banking. People seem to skirt this subject quite a bit. I guess they're afraid of them. Josiah Stamp from England, who was one of the top men in the Bank of England, which, incidentally, was the reason for the American Revolution. It was the war of the Bank of England on America, not necessarily the English government. He said to 150 professors of the University of Texas back in the 20s, banking was conceived in iniquity and born in sin. Bankers own the earth, take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money, and with a flick of the pen, they will create enough money to buy it back again. Take this great power away from them and all great fortunes like mine. He was the second richest man in Great Britain, and the president of the Bank of England will disappear. And they ought to disappear, for then this would be a better and happier world to live in. My sons are well educated. They should not hesitate to take their places in the ranks of humanity and forge their own fortunes. But if you want to continue to be the slaves of bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, then let bankers continue to create money and control credit.
And this is exactly what's happening in this country of ours, and all over the world.
And if we've been fighting this for a long time, and there's books and books on it.
Right.
Lincoln said it very aptly. He attacked him. As a result of the Civil War, corporations and banking have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow. And the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working on the prejudices of the people until wealth is aggregated in the hands of a few and the republic is destroyed. I feel at this moment more anxiety for the safety of my country than ever before, even in the midst of war.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after, President Lincoln was assassinated.
Yes, yes, that's right.
He issued debt-free money.
Yes, he did. He thwarted the banker's plan.
And just by coincidence, so did John Kennedy, happened to issue debt-free money just before he was assassinated.
Here's what the American Bankers Association said in 1891, and believe me, they refined their racket a lot better since then with the Federal Reserve Act. We authorize you, our loan agents in the western states, to loan funds on all good real estate to fall due not later than September 1st, 1894. And at no time thereafter, and on and after that date, we will not renew our loans under any consideration. But on September 1st, 1894, we will demand our money. We will foreclose and become mortgagees in possession. We can in this way take two-thirds of the farms west of the Mississippi and thousands of them east of the Mississippi as well at our own price. We will own three-fourths of the farms of the west and the money of the nation. Then farmers will become tenants, as in England. This is what we're up against.
Right.
This is where it's at. And for every they put a politician out front, but these politicians, most of them, are in the hip pockets of this interest.
You're right.
John Adams said, "All the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from defects in our Constitution, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation." They don't understand. They think, we think our money is owned by the people. And it's not.
No, it is not.
And they create money.
It's counterfeit.
You put up your house. They put up nothing of value behind the loan.
Okay.
Siegfried said, "Finance, money, credit, international banking knows no boundaries of nations, no tongue, no color, no creed. It is a universal language of exploitation and tyranny. It robs the American farmer, the Welch miner, the Czech glass workers, the toiling, serving, and producing men, women, and children with equal complacency. It knows no mastery but its own, no service to itself but to itself, no means but money. It will brook no opposition.
You know what that made me think of? This is the preacher in me, I guess. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Right.
And this is exactly the root of all the evils that are affecting us. Is that
that's
horrible, greedy love of money.
That's where the power is, in that money.
Right. And people forget, or they don't know, that Russia has a bank.
No.
The bank is 100% in Russia, and now the Rockefellers are building new other banks in Russia now. China has a bank.
And Russia has made a great deal of money on the devaluation of the dollar, too.
That's very true. Henry Ford was quoted as saying, here is a nation, now this is during the Depression, here is a nation that might be the richest nation on earth, when actually we haven't enough of anything because there is not enough production. The need is here, the ability to produce is here, the people are eager to produce, willing to work. The stoppage is the system that puts profits before production, and that is the money system.
Mm-hmm.
There was not enough of the commodity of money during the Depression.
Right. Well, how can we get control of our money, Tom?
Well, all we have to do is go to the Constitution where it says, Article 1, Section 8, the Congress shall have power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and a foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures.
Right.
Now, why did we give this over to a private corporation? Why are there no senators or representatives sitting on the board of governors of the Federal Reserve System? And if they say it's government-owned, how come we have to go into committee, our representatives, to ask the banks who has the stock?
Mm-hmm.
If the people and the federal government own it, how come we always have to ask them?
Yeah, how come there has never been an audit?
That's right. And the IRS, too. Never been an audit.
That's right.
You see. Then we're getting down to brass tacks when we do that. Now,
do you think then that we could get the Federal Reserve System off our back? We could buy it or take it or what?
There probably are several methods, but there's been legislation introduced down through the years. It's sitting there now. John Rarick, Louisiana, he's got it before. All we have to do is push it. But these men can't get anything done as long as they're up against this monolithic thing.
Well, you
without
say,
support.
All we have to do is push it. I think what we've got to do is get rid of a bunch of the radicals in Congress that will listen and put some Americans in Congress and all these ills. The Federal Reserve, the United Nations, all of these things could be eliminated by a Congress of Americans.
Why do you think that the IRS operates in such a Gestapo methods, the methods they do. They're not bound by the Constitution of the United States. They make the rules as they go. Why? Because they are the extractors.
And our time's gone again. Thanks, you fellows, for coming
here.
Thank you.
I do want to add a bit of vital information. Our leftist One World U.S. Senate passed the Atlantic Union resolution by unanimous consent without one recorded vote. And it is now on the floor of the House for passing. More on this next week. Fay Bryce, Post Office Box 1073, National City, California, 92050. Goodbye. Do be much in prayer and then act. Hello, everyone. This is Fay Bryce with a clarion call for a return to national sanity and to the faith once delivered unto the saints. Some of you may not have heard the announcement Friday that I am going to be on the air. I will continue at 5 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Lord worked everything out for us, and tomorrow and Thursday, Joe Stevens, will be on the air with Key Point. I hope you'll stay tuned tomorrow and listen to him, because I believe you'll enjoy his broadcast. I'm very happy that things worked out so well that I can stay on XEMO at 5 p.m. Now, today I have two guests, and they're not of national fame or anything like that. They're just plain old Joe and Tom America. And I'd like to introduce to you folks listening today Tom Metzger, isn't that right, from Fallbrook, and Joe Reedy, just plain ordinary American citizens They're very much concerned what's happening, and I think they'd like to discuss the genocide treaty today. Isn't that what you rather thought, Joe?
That's right, Faye.
We'd like to discuss various aspects of the Genocide Convention. We found in talking to people about this that most of us have not been informed even as to what this means. What is the Genocide Convention? The information has not been disseminated to us. It's very important that all of us know what the Genocide Convention is, because just recently our state legislature has asked the Congress, the Senate of the United States, to ratify by treaty something called the Genocide Convention. Well, what is this convention? In a few words, it's simply a change of all American citizens from national law to international tyranny under a world court of 15 judges.
And that's also that is absolutely contrary to our Constitution. We have no guarantee of a trial by jury, right? Or any appeal.
That's
right.
That's right, Faye. The Genocide Convention effectively kills our Bill of Rights. It throws our Constitution right out the window. Under this convention, any American citizen may be extradited out of this country and tried in a world court before judges who may not even be an American amongst them. There may be as many as 15 judges deciding your fate. From these judges, there is no appeal. Their decisions are final. There is no trial by jury. There is no protection such as we know under our law, common law, known as due process of the law, which is entitled you to speak if you desire or to remain silent under the Fifth Amendment. All of the Bill of Rights, in other words, is dead.
Right.
Under this.
Now, I'm sure that the majority of our listeners, particularly those that have listened to the Clarion Call very long, know about the Genocide Treaty, but I think, even so, we might have people listening today that really are not familiar with what the word genocide means, how it came into being, because it is a coined word. And, Tom, would you like to kind of expound on that a little bit, what the Genocide Treaty really is?
Well, basically, the Genocide Treaty is sort of the word genocide is a camouflage, really. The Genocide Treaty would be a treaty which would bind the United States government, our Congress, to any complaint from within the country by either a group or an individual of such things as genocide, which is very loosely defined. This whole treaty is so loosely defined, it's anything could mean anything.
Right.
Mental harm is
Light
stated.
Injury.
There's various things like this. It is completely very poorly done. The United States Bar Association has come out flatly against it.
Mm-hmm.
And as Joe said, completely abrogating your rights under the California and federal constitution.
Right. Well, the word genocide actually originally meant just one thing. Genocide meaning race kill, general race and side kill. And it was a coined word by Raphael Lemke in 1944, describing what Hitler attempted to do to the Jews. And the dictionary, now a lot of people will look this word up in the dictionary when they're not informed or know about familiar with the Genocide Treaty itself, and they'll find this definition that it is a deliberate attempt to eliminate a race or nation of people. Well, that doesn't sound bad, but when we break it down, or when we get in and see how the United Nations Assembly, how they expanded and enlarged this meaning to include national, racial, ethnical, or religious groups, and not to eliminate them as a whole group or race of people, but rather in whole or in part, or members of any one of these groups. You see, that puts a different aspect on it, because that takes in just about everything that we've had free speech about, right?
Yes, that's right. And one of the effects, direct effects, that this genocide treaty will have on the American people is that it will place every man who has been in the armed services, who fought in Korea, or was involved in Vietnam, under the threat and jeopardy of Nuremberg-style trials. In other words, already the United States has been accused by Hanoi of committing genocide upon the people of North Vietnam. Now, under this charge, if we ratify that treaty, these soldiers that we sent over there to fight for us will be subjected to international trials by a group of judges who are not even their own countrymen.
That's right.
These men will be subject to being hanged outright by a bunch of foreigners whom they didn't have a chance to whip because their hands were tied behind their back when they were fighting them.
You know, Joe, our POWs that have come back, these men that have suffered long years of imprisonment, they were not there as prisoners of war, but they were considered criminals. And they have, I believe that this is a deliberate thing because of the Genocide Convention. You see, this is the communist way of thinking about
Absolutely.
It.
Now, Absolutely. Our senators, excuse me, Tom, our senators in Washington, our senators in Washington couldn't wait to sign that Tonkin Gulf
place right.
to get those men over there. And as soon as they got there, they started jerking a rug out from under them, saying, oh, they shouldn't be over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact the communists were distributing McGovern speeches along the trail where our soldiers could find them.
Right.
And they left those captured men in those dugouts chained to the foxholes. And now, though, it's great because they're back. Look what we did for them.
Yes.
We've got 400 prisoners in Korea who've never been heard from for 20 years.
And I wonder where some of the MIAs, the missing in action, are in Vietnam today.
And our problem is, right now, that our representatives are going right along with this on the state and national level.
Right.
Now, the question is, we know this is bad, now what are we going to do about it?
That's a good question, Tom. Glad you asked.
Now, we have had a group of so-called legislators in Sacramento who, about 2 months ago, passed Resolution 32, which affirmed their support, supposedly, of the California people for the ratification in Congress of the Genocide Treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where was this in the newspapers?
It wasn't.
Was the constituents of these people advised, asked what they felt on something that completely goes out of bounds of any state representation?
Right.
In other words, there's nothing that constitutionally of this nature that they could do. Why are they dabbling in these areas? Why do they pass these things behind closed doors and don't advise people of what's going on? We have to demand these legislators and to come to the people and explain what they're doing up there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have a little notice here which was drafted up quickly and in a hurry by a group of people who were discussing this not too long ago. And it starts off, as the Mayflower Compact did, it starts off, "In the name of God, amen."
Amen.
And it says, "The California legislature has, of its own volition, declared itself no longer a representative body of the people of California. By its initiation and approval of Assembly Joint Resolution Number 32, recommending ratification of the Genocide Convention, the legislature has declared itself officially a body representing the United Nations and the illegitimate World Court, and has thereby declared itself tacitly in rebellion against the law of the land. It has further, by surreptitious proceedings, declared its desire to place all citizens of California and the United States in subjection to foreign judges without protection of the Bill of Rights and the United States Constitution. Now, therefore, by all precedents in common law and in history and in the philosophy of justice, the people of California are no longer morally or legally bound by the legislative acts promulgated under color of law by that body as now constituted. Such law may be possibly binding on and only on such persons as choose to call themselves citizens of the world and who wish to submit to the authority of a foreign despot and such force as he may bring to bear. These persons voluntarily place themselves outside the protection of the laws of the United States, which guarantee the inalienable right to defend life, liberty, and property against the illegal acts from whatever source. Now further, it is the sense of this gathering that a legislative body ought to be created to represent the citizens of California in accordance with the Constitution of both California and the United States. All citizens of the state of California who are not satisfied with being involuntarily placed in status of citizens of the world are urged to meet in their various local public places to forward this end. The Republic of California being this day without legal representation among the 50 sovereign states, the 31st of March, 1973.
I think that is an excellent document, and I think we're going to have to reproduce it, and something must be done. Now, this is a course of action that that people can take.
We're not asking those legislatures. We're demanding.
This is what we must do, is make a demand on them. After all, aren't they supposed to be our representatives, our servants?
That's true, and we have written various representatives, and they have not even had the decency to reply to our letters. One man has done a good job up there of letting us know. Joe, do you want to...
Yes, well, I believe you're speaking of Assemblyman...
Now, let me tell you, you've got just about a minute. Why don't you give how this got through the Senate, and then Assembly, and then... Wednesday, we can go further into it if you like.
All right.
Let's give the gist of it right here.
This is from Assemblyman Robert H. Burke, and he states in his report to the people, last year, the California legislature officially urged the U.S. Senate to approve the genocide treaty. The method used to accomplish this feat is an indication of the determination of its advocates. The chairman of the Assembly Rules Committee, in my opinion, deliberately and crassly schemed to prevent certain members of that committee from knowing it was to be considered. The resolution was never included in an agenda item. It was brought up for consideration at a time when opposition was absent, and it was placed on the consent calendar where only items of a completely non-controversial nature are allowed. The resolution moved undetected through the Assembly as a result of the defeat. It was spotted later, but still approved by the Senate.
Actually, it was illegally passed and deceitfully passed until even many of the assemblymen and it was found out by the time it got to the Senate, according to that. But they didn't even know what it contained, actually. Didn't know it was in there.
And we want to know who these people serve that are pushing this stuff through.
Right. And it was not. The people were not consulted. You know, our time's gone for today, so we'll pick up with it... on Wednesday, okay?
Thank you, Faith.
And I just have time to say thank you for your wonderful letters to Mr. Gates and all of your help. This is Faye Rice, Post Office Box 1073, National City, California, 92050. Goodbye. Pray much. This is on 2-3 broadcast not long ago. Tom Metzger and Joe Reedy from Fallbrook. And they're going to be in with us on the our citizens' meeting next Tuesday, May 1st, and that's at the American Legion Hall, 4061 Fairmount. And I thought maybe you fellows might have something to add. I've been telling them about this meeting. So would you like to put in your 2 cents worth and tell them what you expect it to be?
Well, we expect it to be a no-nonsense meeting, Faye.
Right.
We're tired of going to meetings, and eating and retreating and all that junk. The time for that is over. We want to discuss number one at this meeting, the Genocide Convention. We want to cover the Atlantic Union Resolution, which, as I hope that most of the people know now, has been defeated again, just barely defeated for another few months maybe till they bring it up again. And then we're going to discuss more than 50 gun control laws that are pending.
Well, you know, Tom, just because it was defeated this time, that doesn't make the representatives, so-called, that voted for it any less guilty of violating their oath and betraying the people.
Very true. Or any less criminal, I
call
it.
That's right. Absolutely. Tom, Joe, what have you got to say?
Well, I was sitting here thinking about listening to what you had to say, and I'll go back for a minute to this May the 1st meeting. I think it's appropriate at this point, since by coincidence we are meeting on the 1st of May, to mention Adam Weishaupt, founder of the Illuminati,
mm-hmm.
a man who set up a secret order to destroy all existing religion, government, and order. And his end product was to be nihilism and chaos.
Mm-hmm.
The symbol of that order may be seen on our Federal Reserve note, mistakenly called $1. The pyramid and the all-seeing eye is
right
there, and the date in Roman numerals at the base of the pyramid is simply 1776, which is not the year that our nation was founded, as some people suppose.
That's right.
Just not what it stands for. It stands for the founding of the Illuminati. And the Latin inscription are all symbols of this Luciferian organization. But at this meeting, we hope to arouse enough interest on the part of the citizens where they will get up and start taking part in their government. You know, we've sat back, and everybody from Kissinger down to the janitor in the White House is running our government into the ground, I might add, and we're sitting back and saying, ain't it terrible? Well, this is our government. It's not a bunch of people we send to Washington. It belongs to the people. The Constitution was written by the people and ordained by the people. And
absolutely right. I think that also, Joe, we might say that we have, like I said before, to get tough on this issue, and we're not just going to have meetings to discuss and discuss and discuss.
Talk to each other.
I mean, there's a lot of groups been doing that for years, and you see where we're at. And I would go so far as to say the only hope is to combine the strategy of politics with the tactics of resistance warfare in this country.
Yeah.
This is war. We're living, as far as I'm concerned, under criminal government.
We certainly are.
Men who are perverting our government. Abraham Lincoln said many years ago that it is our duty to remove the men who pervert the Constitution from office.
Here's something else he said, Tom. Excuse me.
Sorry.
He said, a single instance in which a plainly written provision of the Constitution has been denied might, in a moral point of view, justify a revolution. Certainly it would if such a right were a vital one. And certainly these things that these people in Washington and California legislature are attempting to pass, such as the Genocide Convention and this Atlantic Union Charter, are tremendously vital to the lives of every American. They are in complete violation of our Constitution. In fact, they tear the Constitution to shreds. They tramp it in the mud. And these people sit up there and draw pay. We bleed for taxes to pay their wages
right. While
they send us down the river.
And they take the tax money and turn it right around on us, and that's what they're using to oppress us. And if you think the oppression is getting bad now, just wait a little while.
Just a few months.
It's going to get tougher. I'd rather go on my feet than on my knees myself.
Depends on how you feel on your knees.
That's right. That's true. The lifeblood of dictatorship is the money. And that's why I want to talk about taxes, too, and a tax strike a little bit maybe at this meeting, because that's an antidote. A lot of people shy away from it because we haven't gotten used to really fighting in this country yet. But there are people all over this country that have just said, no, they're not going to pay. Why go out and pay for a hired killer to get you, to destroy you? And taxation without representation, Joe, do we have any representation in this country?
You don't even have it in the courts anymore because the judges have taken over the juries. I've seen instances, and I can relate instances to you, where the judges have actually sacked the juries. That's what they're doing. The juries must belong to the people. They do not belong to the government. They are to judge not only the facts of a case, they are to judge whether a law is just and moral. This is a primary responsibility of the jury. And it has been taken away from the juries by the judges who sit there and dictate the law, dictate the evidence, dictate every part. It's a directed verdict. And the jury just sits there and rubber stamps it and goes through the motion because our Constitution says we don't have a trial but jury. They've corrupted and prostituted the whole process.
You know, in the church I belong to, there came a slogan out about a year ago, and it was no doctrines and no doctrine, no dollars. And that's exactly what we ought to do. No representation, no dollars.
That's what the First Revolutionary War was all about.
Well, I was just going to say, isn't that what the First Revolution was about? Now, we're not advocating the revolution.
Counter-revolution is what we advocate.
The revolution has been here and gone, and we lost the revolution.
Well, of course, Mr. Nixon has his new revolution, but what we're going to do now is avail ourselves of the things that have been provided. Then, of course, if that doesn't work, why, we don't know where it's going.
We hope to stay within the framework of the Constitution. We hope to return the country to the Constitution. We will work our hearts out, and we will sacrifice our lives to do that. If it is at all possible to be done, humanly possible, to break the power of the money on this country, to put the country back in the hands of the people, we will spend our efforts toward that end.
I think another good way of saying it is take the law in your own hands. And that's pick out the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. The independence, and put it in your hand and use it.
Amen.
And don't let any bureaucrat trample on your rights, but you're going to have to do it right in your front yard, right in your own house, right in your own business.
Right in your own county.
And it may be a small little thing, but stand pat and don't let them budge you. This is resistance, and resistance works.
to see Tom and Joe, all of our officials today. They're going along with the top echelon, our county supervisors and our city, and we're being regionalized into socialism. It's law by law, region by region, and executive order by executive order.
That's right.
The whole barrel of snakes. But in getting onto that jury once more, I heard at a meeting here about 3 weeks ago, someone tell a group of people that there would be 30 more indictments handed out on a matter of taxes in the Southern California area. When the speaker was challenged on this statement, the remark was made, our law firm makes it a business to know about these things. In other words, the jury is a rubber stamp. The grand jury, the federal grand jury, hands down an indictment at the request of the IRS, and that is certainly a complete reversal of what the jury was set up to do.
I believe at the time that this statement was made, you told me that the grand jury was not even had not even convened as yet.
That's right. Now, they can predict, people in the know can predict what the grand jury is going to decide before they even convene on the case.
You know, one thing, at, going back to that Constitution, Joe, you remember that the Constitution of the United States was a contract-binding government, not binding the citizens.
Exactly.
It was to bind government, and there was a Bill of Rights to very carefully define that contract, and there was an enforcement clause added into those Bill of Rights called the right to keep and bear arms. Don't let any legislator, like Mr. Knox, infringe on the right to keep and bear arms by meddling with some of these gun laws, or all of them, in any way to take your arms. Because the way things are going, you may need them.
That's right. Your First Amendment, excuse me.
Well, there's already a federal law on the books that passed long about 1936-37 that has all the need that for any kind of control, the bazooka and the sawed-off
sure.
and machine gun and that sort of thing. That's the only law we need.
Even that's right. an infringement. We do not have to be regulated by Big Brother. We have the capabilities of regulating ourselves on the local level. And there's no need for the government to come poking down around our business, telling us how we can do this, how we can do that. We don't need it.
No, but they're sure trying.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. These politicians, they've really got no guts and a lot of gall. And if you back them down, they'll back down, but you got to get tough with them. And there's a lot of people around the country like Jim Scott and A.J. Porth and some of the fellows, Mr. Freed from Michigan, and all these fellows, they're putting them right down where they belong. And if you really get on them, most of these politicians are pragmatists. And they're just like a bunch of rats on a ship. And when things look like they might lose, they're going to be leaving just like that. They're going to be jumping off.
Well, I believe that if anything's to be done, it's got to be done by the people. Now, we've been fighting brush fires when the fire that is destroying is in Washington. It's in the Congress. It's in the White House. And unless we can make those people adhere to the Constitution and that which they swear to do, or get them out.
That's right.
We've
that's
got
right.
to do it.
A very good instance of how these papers and the media smoke screens everything is in today's San Diego Union, the editorial, the top editorial about the New Atlantic Proposal.
You've got 2 minutes now, Joe.
All
don't
right.
get wound up
I
too
won't
tonight.
Go too far. I'll simply tell you, I'll read you one paragraph here that says, it's talking about the need for a New Atlantic Union type setup. What they're actually talking about is this thing that was just voted out, but they're coming back strong to get it in there again. Occasionally, however, the brass section comes on loudly. The Soviet Union, for example, has not relaxed its grip on the millions of free people that it subjugated in World War II period. Moscow has more troops in Eastern Europe today than it had a decade ago. It has streamlined its military organization into a youthful corps geared to an offensive strategy. It has more missiles than the West, and its domestic propaganda is staunchly anti-American and anti-NATO, and we're
why?
Just shipping wheat to them as fast as we can load ships. Isn't
and do you know why
great?
They have more missiles and more armament and more...
Yes.
Is because we have supported them. The communist system in any place would fall flat on its face unless it is supported by the outside, and
right.
we have supported Moscow or the Russian and every communist country.
Well,
and
a friend of
mine started doing it to Red China.
Right. A friend of mine is a merchant mariner, and he goes over to Europe there on his ship, and he sees the NATO ship sitting right there, and the Russian tankers pumping oil and so forth right into them. We're buying the oil from Russia over there.
Right. And we've got about 30 seconds, maybe, and that'll leave me 30 seconds to close.
Well, we got, just remember one thing, $22 billion of your sweat and blood are paid to these private bankers each year for interest on money they create out of nothing.
And they tell us we just owe it to ourselves.
That's right.
Thanks, boys, for coming down. We believe there are many besides Joe and Tom who feel that now is the time to take action against the officials who have sold out the people. We have talked and complained. Now let us see if the grand juries and courts are as corrupt as the many disloyal state and national officials are. This is what our citizens' meeting is about. May 1st at the American Legion Hall at 4061 Fairmount Avenue, San Diego at 7:30 p.m. Come and find out. Come and help us. Faye Bright, Post Office Box 1073, National City, California, 92050. Goodbye, and may God give us wisdom and courage.